I like those introductions. I like those. Thank you, Miss Linda. And turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I do appreciate Brother Tim coming straight from work. I know he don't get off till like 6, ran home. And I appreciate him leading singing tonight. It's a blessing. And glad to be back. Well, I'll be back here in a couple weeks full time. I'm excited about that. And I enjoyed the school, and I was glad to help out what little bit I could. And but I want to be single-minded and single ministry. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'd even apply sometime in ministry. Sometimes I'd be here thinking about, what am I supposed to do here versus, you know. So anyway, I'm glad to be back here. I'm glad our pastor was kind enough to let me come back. I even asked him, I said, hey, you know, I come to him a few months ago. I said, you know, I feel like the Lord's, you know, just wants me to come back. I said, I hope the Lord tells you the same thing he's telling me. If not, I got to go get a part-time job somewhere. And I put in a few applications a couple places just to make sure. But we got a great pastor. And to allow me to preach these series, I'm very thankful. And because I have preach in me. I'm a preacher. I have to preach. And so I appreciate that opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've hit this verse in this series, Living in the Light. And we've talked about the light is revealing. The light is reflective. We are reflectors. We reflect the glory and the light of Christ. It's reviving. That dwindles down and is at the point of death can be revived again through light. Tonight we'll talk about light is responsibility. When you live in the light, there comes a responsibility with that. And we'll look at that here in this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says, therefore, we have this ministry, and we'll talk about that in a moment. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, notice that phrase, lest the light of the glorious gospel. I'm glad it's a glorious gospel. And we'll talk about that also, of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves. If every preacher get a hold of that verse, it'd be some good messages preached from pulpits all across America. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul knew his place in the ministry, didn't he? He realized he was just a servant. He was just a vessel. Verse 6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We'll talk about light, living in the light is responsibility. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. And God, tonight I come humbly before your throne and asking and begging for mercy and grace tonight, asking for power that you would, Lord, just fill my life and fill my mouth tonight with all that you would have your people to hear. God, I have nothing of myself to say, but I know that your Holy Spirit and your Word have something to say from you tonight. And God, I want to be that vessel that you can be able to work through. And so, Father, remove me from this situation, this service. And God, I pray that you would just take hold and take the reins tonight and speak to every heart. You know the needs. God, help us to live in the light. We thank you for Christ. We pray everything through His precious name. In Jesus' name, amen. Living in the light. So here we'll see three things. If you ever heard me preach, it's usually three things. I've tried to go three and four a few times, and I got confused myself. But every Christian should desire to live in the light of Christ. If you're a believer here tonight, that ought to be your desire. Now, I'll tell you this, not every day in my life do I live in the light. There's days that I drift away and I have to be reminded from time to time, and that's why I love preaching, that's why I love the Word of God, to be reminded that my life needs to be in the light of Christ, because I am a reflector of who He is. The message of Christ is not going to be displayed, or it's not going to be conveyed through visions and signs and wonders. Christ said that He chose to use man to propagate His gospel, to proclaim His gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? By the way, that's not just talking about me, Brother Crawford, Brother Cox, Brother Trainmar, and Brother Latta. That's talking about all of us. We're all preachers. And by the way, you're either preaching a good message or you're preaching a bad message. I've done both. And you're either preaching a message of darkness or you're either preaching a message of light with your life. And so when you choose to live in the light of Jesus Christ, when you choose to live in this glorious light, there comes a responsibility with living in this light. Just as you say, well, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, there comes responsibility with that. You say, I want to be a deacon. Well, there comes a responsibility. Or if you're both of them, there's double responsibility. And sometimes we think we want to take on some roles, but we don't want to take on the responsibility of that role. But here we see through the Bible time and time again that when you live in the light, there comes that responsibility. And He shows us the responsibility of those who live in the light here in 2 Corinthians. Now, remind us again, remind myself that in the book of Corinthians, it's the book of correction. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth saying, you got some things wrong. And you're doing some things the wrong way. And here's the way you should do it. And he was making sure here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that it was not about them, that they understood that it was not about them, that it was about the gospel, that it was about Jesus Christ, that it was not about man-made methods, it's not about man-made ways of doing things, but it's Christ that liveth in us and through us to work His work through and in this world. In chapter 3, he talks a lot about the glory of Christ, or the glory of God. And he talks about the glory and the glory. You can see it several times. When he doesn't say glory, he says it's glorious. And so as we look at verse 1 in chapter 4, let's see what he's saying here. He says, therefore, you've heard that word many times. What do you got to do? You got to go back and see what it's there for. Well, in chapter 3, he's also not only talking about the glory of Christ, the glory of God, but he's talking about really the glory of the New Testament. That we are no longer bound by the Old Testament, by the law of the Old Testament. That we live in this grace era and we live that life through the Spirit of God that is indwelt in our life. The last thing he says is the Spirit of the Lord. That is the ministry that we have. Paul is saying the ministry that I have is the ministry of grace. It is the ministry that, where, by the way, it's a glorious gospel because it sets men free from their sin. It's a glorious gospel, as it says again in verse 4, that it's a glorious gospel because the gospel can take a man who's on their way to hell and pick them up out of there and put them on their way to heaven. It's a glorious gospel. He says, now that we have this ministry. See, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? We have the ministry of proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. We have the ministry of the New Testament. The New Covenant. The Old Covenant is no longer valid. It's no longer activated because why? When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He activated a new covenant underneath grace. Somebody say amen. If you don't say amen, we'll give you 613 laws you got to live by this week. And you'll fail before you get out of those doors. Amen. And so I want you to notice three things. Go back to verse 1. I want you to notice the responsibility. And number one tonight, the things we share. The responsibility of the things we share. Here it is, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Paul is not speaking directly to preachers in this verse. Paul is speaking to a local visible church. He's speaking to those who have been born again by their faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, seeing we have this ministry. Sometimes we think that's pastor's ministry. Sometimes we think that's Brother Latta's ministry. But Heritage Baptist Church is our ministry. This is where God has, if you're a member of Heritage Baptist Church, you are a part of this ministry.
And as we work together, we accomplish more.
Some people think, well, soul winning, we'll leave it up to our pastor. No, it's our responsibility. It is our responsibility. Paul was reminding them that we, together, this ministry. Notice what he says at the end of that verse. He says, as we have received mercy. By the way, God's given us mercy to do what we ought to do and grace to do what we should do. He says, notice he says, we faint not. We don't quit. Paul said, I don't quit because I know what ministry I have. Paul said, I don't quit because I know we share this ministry. We share the responsibility of reaching souls. I, Pastor, Brother Clark, Brother, anybody that's on the deacon board or whoever it may be, cannot reach the world with the gospel. It is Heritage Baptist Church that, through this mission hallway out here, supports these missionaries. It's a group effort of getting the gospel out. When we send those mailers out all around our neighborhood, it comes from the tithe and offering of this church. And it comes because why? We get out there and pass them out. We mail them out. You have a part of that. This is your ministry. Now, I'm glad we have a head that leads us. I'm glad we have men that have leadership roles, but this is our ministry. And I think sometimes people don't invest a lot in their church because they don't see the value of ministry. They don't see that it's your ministry, my ministry, so to speak. We're working together. And as servants, as Paul said that he was. Now, I want you to notice something else in here. As a matter of fact, I'll read this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, for we are laborers what? Together with God. We are laborers together with God. That is, we share in this ministry. Our responsibility is that we share the responsibility of reaching souls for Jesus Christ. It is not our pastor's job to win every soul for Heritage Baptist Church. It is our responsibility as Christians to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you the second thing. Look at verse 2. There's not only things we share, but there's things we shun. Notice what he says in verse 2. When you live in the light, there's some things you're going to have to shun, or else very quickly, your foot and your life, we were singing, leaning on the everlasting arms. You lean, the way you lean is the way you fall. You lean toward the world, you're going to fall in the world. You lean toward the darkness, you're going to fall in that darkness. And in order to stay out of darkness, there's some things you're going to have to go, uh-uh. That's Hebrew and Greek mixed together. Uh-uh. No, I'm not going to do that. And by the way, sometimes these things that he mentions are not those great sins that we think about. We think, well, he's fixing a list. You know, adultery and fornication, he's going to killing. Notice what he says. He says, but have renounced the hidden things. Notice number one, of dishonesty. By the way, he's speaking predominantly about those who preach a message that is dishonest. You say, would there be anybody that would ever do that? Turn to TBN and pick your channel. I mean, it's there. That, notice what he says, that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Those things that are not true. But going down, notice what he says next. He says, walking in craftiness. By the way, that word craftiness, if you look it up in your English dictionary, it means trickery. You know who I think about when I think about that? I think of Jacob, the surplanner, the tricker. Tricked his brother, right? And as you think about that craftiness, that people that, he says, walking in craftiness. Walking, in other words, here's another definition that I found. It says, getting what you want by any means. That's craftiness. You ever met anybody like that? Huh? We'll reach souls ever how we can. We'll go out there to the bar and reach them. We'll go over here and do this. Hey, there's a limit. There's a point where you cross into the craftiness era and you become a false prophet. In that trickery and trying to get people in our folds and in our churches. And as we think about that, he said, walking in craftiness. But notice what he said last. He said, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. By the way, that is the work of Satan. I've heard this said many times, and I believe with all my heart, Satan's not out there to destroy the Word of God. He's just out there to tweak the Word of God. You say, how do you know that? Did you read in Genesis? When he came to Eve, he didn't do away with the Word of God. He just tweaked it a little bit. It needed a little tweaking. I've tried to tweak things in my life. I've tried to tweak engines before, make them run faster. I remember one time as a kid, we always had go-karts. Growing up, we raced go-karts, and it's wonder I'm still alive. And I always thought, you know, that it was never fast enough. I went from a 5-horsepower to 8-horsepower to something that I probably shouldn't have had on the back of a little go-kart. And we get out there, and I try to tweak it just a little bit. Most of the time, that got me in trouble. By the way, the Word of God doesn't need tweaking. It needs preaching. It just needs us to open up and say, thus saith the Lord. But there's a lot of people handling the Word of God deceitfully. How many of you ever heard a message? Now, the Word of God really doesn't say this, but let me. Oh, help us. Help us. Wiganology is bad. Bibliology is good. And it's not that we take the Word of God and say, this is what I want it to say. We take the Word of God and say, this is what it says. Too many religions in the world that have taken the Bible and said, I want to make it say what I want it to say. Instead of us just reading it and say, this is what it says. By the way, don't get mad at me. If everybody read the Bible and just said, hey, this is what it says, everybody be Baptist in the world. I believe that. I believe we're the closest there is. If it wasn't, I'd go find one that was. But I'm saying is that if people read the Bible and just took it for face value and said, God, speak to me, instead of, Lord, I'm going to try to correct your Bible and hold it deceitfully. Now, I'm not going to do away with the Word of God, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit. Lord, help us. God, help us that a preacher preaches a message where salvation is not by grace in Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. That it's of the baptistry, it's of church membership. He's holding the Word of God deceitfully. Lord, help us today. You want to stay in the light? Well, guess what? You don't notice what he says. You renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Walk not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. He said, don't do that. You want to stay in the light? You stay pure, and you stay pure to its fullest extent, being holy. See, a lot of people say, well, you know what, I'm not as bad as this guy and that gal, and so I'm good. The light of Christ is not dependent on how you look toward others, against others. The light of Christ depends on how you look to God. And you look in His sight. And of course, I understand we're positionally, we're saved and sanctified and all those things. But there's that fellowship with Christ, and the light is dependent upon us being clean. And it's dependent upon Christ forgiving us and cleansing us from our sin. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one another. He says, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's what we must do. Every day of our life, we must put off the old man. We must shun the old man. We must shun darkness and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing, there's some things we need to show. The responsibilities we have is not only the responsibility that we have to share the gospel with the Lord, with those that are lost. It is our responsibility to shun some things, but it's also our responsibility to show some things. What are we to show? Well, look at the end of that verse 2 there. He says, but by manifestation of the truth. You know what the word manifestation means? It means brought to light. Brought under the light. Made manifest. You can see it. Light has made it visible. Woo! We like that when it comes to God showing us His will. We don't like that when it comes to God showing us our sin. And notice what he says. He says, by manifestation of truth. Paul said the only way you're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ is not deceitfully, not by trickery, not by craftiness, and not by handling the Word of God like a lot of people do in today's world, deceitfully and dishonestly and all those things. He says, but here's how you do it. You manifestate the truth. You bring to light truth. Notice what he says, commending ourselves. Notice what he says here, to every man's conscience. that I'm living the right life in front of you, but also that I'm living the right life in front of those outside of these walls, in the sight of God. But, verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, you say, you know what, I'm not into living in the light. That's okay. You're just not shining to those on their way to hell. If that's okay with you, then something's wrong with you. I don't know about you, but I want to shine as a bright light. Why? Because I know there's people dying and going to hell all around me. He says, but if your gospel be hid, it is hid to them that is lost. It's not, matter of fact, can I just say it shouldn't be an option whether we want to live in the light or not. It ought to be our desire every day to wake up and say, God, plant me in the light of your love and plant me in the light of your grace. Plant me in the light of your word and in the light of your spirit and let your light shine through me. Let me be that beacon. And notice what else he says. He says, in whom the God of this world... By the way, there's enough problems in this world. You know why? Because Satan's done this. And you know what people are trying to do? You know what churches are trying to do? We're trying to get in there and peel those that blinders away on our own merit. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, you're trying to go about it the wrong way. You're corrupting the doctrines. You're corrupting the gospel. And he says, you're trying to go in there and do it this way. He says, no. He says, because Satan hath blinded the minds of them. And there's only one way to shine through that. Here it is. He says, hath blind minds of them which believe not. That's the lost people. Lest the light of the glorious gospel. Or unless a smooth talker with good teeth. No, that says, unless the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. You say, how do we get people saved? Well, you gotta be able to speak very fluently and be calm. Those things are good additives on the side, but it's the Word of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the light. You know, I could take this paper all day and say, this is the light. Me and Brother Cox can go out coon hunting tonight, which I've not done in many years. I say, I got a light. Brother Cox is going, you know, you ain't got a light. I say, yeah, I got a light. I can say it all I want, but it's still not a light. We can go out there and I can try to use this to get light in front of us while we're out coon hunting tonight, but it's not going to work because this is not a light. You know, and that's what's happening in churches today. We're trying to grab things to reach people with, and I'm not against the methods. I'm saying is that the message that we're giving people, we're missing the mark because we're using the wrong message. There's people, and of course, I was teaching personal evangelism this year, and God convicted me, and I was reading some things. You know, you start researching stuff, and you get sick to your stomach reading this stuff. I was reading plans of salvation from other places. One was this. Would you like to turn over a new leaf in your life? Just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe you. And He saves you. Sounds kind of right, but it's not right. Do you have a void in your life? Well, yeah. I fill it with food. You know? Are you dealing with depression? Yeah, because I'm reading this. There's Christians that deal with depression. We're putting these labels on everything instead of saying, are you on your way to hell? Yeah, there you go. That's really what we ought to say. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? That'd be a good question. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you would go to heaven? If you stood at heaven's gates and said, and God was there and you asked Him, or He asked you, why should I let you in? What would you say? Well, I went to church. Nah, wrong. There's going to be a button in heaven. Jesus Christ. Oh, ding, 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 you got it. There's going to be a lot of people buzzed out, aren't they? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Not that you came to me, got saved, and lost your salvation. He said, I never knew you. Not about you, but I'm glad God knows me. The Bible tells us that He knows His sheep, and His sheep know His voice. I know I'm saved tonight. There's some things we must show. What must we show? Look on down. I gotta keep going. It says, verse 5, he says, "For we preach not ourselves." That's not what we're to show, people. It's not about me and you. We're just vessels. The light, now notice what he says, Christ the Lord. Ourselves, your servants for Jesus Christ. You know what happens when you become a servant of Christ? He becomes preeminent in our life. And we follow Him as dear children. Verse 6 says, "For God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We have the light in us to shine forth. Now, I want you to skip down, if you will, to verse 10. Notice what he says. Here it is. Here's what we're to show. There's a few things we're to show. The gospel of Christ is the most important. But we show Christ, and these are kind of sub-points. But notice what he says, verse 10. He says, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." In other words, brought to light. In other words, people are no longer seeing you. They're seeing what Christ did. The death of Christ. That was the payment for sin in your life. And notice what he says in verse 11. He says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, brought to light in our mortal flesh." Paul is saying this in this verse, is that, church, you can live a life that displays the Lord Jesus Christ if you live in the light. If you live in the light, there comes a responsibility that when you have been shown the light and been given the light, you're to reflect the light. That is our responsibility, is to show forth Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said even about the Lord's Supper? He says, "Often after you drink and eat of this bread, drink of this wine and eat of this bread, you do show the Lord's death." You show the Lord's death till He comes. That's why we do it. We picture the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get in the baptistry, you picture the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you must picture the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be the only example they ever see of the Bible. You may be the only example that they see of Jesus Christ. We're to show forth Jesus Christ in our life. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, "I die daily." In other words, I have to die to myself so Jesus can shine forth. I don't live, but Christ liveth in me and through me. And when we die to self, Christ lives in us. He's resurrected in our life. Verse 7 really kind of sums everything up. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Now what treasure is that? We have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have Jesus Christ. We have this in our earthen vessels. But notice, here's why he says all that he says. He says that the excellency, that's the supreme, the top, of the power may be of God and not of us. The reason we live in the light is because we want to shine forth Jesus Christ. And living in the light, it may seem like, woohoo, I want to do it. But there comes some responsibility with it. And you've got to show forth Christ out of your life. Why? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. You know, I had some people clap for me today. I hate that. Oh, I hate it. I've been to a church before, after the preacher gets done preaching, they clap for him. Oh, it drives me fruity. A few churches used to do that. I'm happy for you. But it's not about me. It's about Him. That's why I don't like nobody clapped after I sing. I didn't sing for you. I sung for Him. Amen. People have asked me to sing songs down through the years. Said, "Hey, can you sing this tonight?" Sure, yes, sir. But I'm not singing it for you. I'll sing it for Him. Hymn songs. H-E-I-M. H-I-M. Yeah, I was going to spell that. H-I-M. Right? Yeah, I'm from Texas now. That's what happens when you transplant us. Right? But we sing for Him. We sing for His glory. We sing for His praise. When I walk outside of these doors, I must still live for Him. Because I want to be a light. Listen, Heritage Baptist Church members, you work in the workplace, you have neighbors, they need to see the light of Christ from your life. You have a responsibility to show forth Christ out of your life. As a believer, you have the responsibility to show forth Christ in your life. If somebody lives across from you and I would go visit them, and I knock on their door and I say, hey, you know the, we'll say the Feasers because they're on the front row. I say, you know the Feasers that live across the road? You're either going to get one or two things. Oh, yeah. And that may be because you bother them about their salvation. Or it may be because they're like, oh, man, they're rowdy. And I know that they are. Or they may say, whatever. But our neighbors know who we are. If you go to my kids, you'll find out who Michael Wiggins really is. You can go to my neighbor and find out who Michael Wiggins is. I want to shine forth that light. I want to permeate the darkness with the light of Christ. And I hope that that's your desire. There's a responsibility you have. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray, and then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you. Thank you tonight for your grace and your mercy. And Father, thank you for allowing me to preach this series. And God, really, this was all for me. Lord, you touched my heart through every message, convicted my heart. Father, forgive me where I failed you. Help me to be a greater light than I've ever been before. Lord, I realize the responsibility of living in the light. And Lord, there's souls dying and going to hell. God, who have I reached this week? Who have I reached out to? God, help me to be a better soul winner. Lord, just help me to be a better Christian. Help each and every one of these church members, God, to live in the light, come out of the darkness. Thank you so much for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. Lord, shut your heart, you come as we sing.
In the light of His Word,
play for us just a minute or two. A couple of things as you play, Miss Linda. Go ahead. Let's continue the invitation. Understand that giving your life to Jesus does not save you. That is a key word that they use today. Some of these contemporary churches, they say, just come to the altar and give your life to Jesus. Giving your life to Jesus does not save you. You can't find it in the Bible anywhere. Trusting in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, believing He lived, died, and rose again, calling upon the name of the Lord, that saves you. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on out there. Thank you, Miss Linda, very much. There's a lot of weird stuff going out there. I'm telling you. All right, you may be seated.